From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he concludes his exposition of Paul's Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Glory to God for the Gospel. The text is verses 25 through 27 of chapter 16, Paul's great doxology of praise to God for all that he has provided in Christ. Dr. Cairns is highlighting the glorious effects of the gospel in Paul's life, as well as in the life of every true believer. Christians are strengthened by contemplation of their union with Christ. Paul's soul exulted in the glorious content of the gospel, which sets forth Christ's person and work. He rejoiced in the eternal plan of God's way of redeeming lost sinners, a truth that was set forth typically in the Old Testament, but which became clearly revealed in the New Testament and fulfilled by the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord. Praise should always follow answered prayer, as the mist of earth's gratitude rises when the sun of heaven's love warms the ground. Hath the Lord been gracious to thee, and inclined his ear to the voice of thy supplication? Then praise him as long as thou livest. Let the ripe fruit drop upon the fertile soil from which it drew its life. Deny not a song to him who hath answered thy prayer, and given thee the desire of thy heart. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. It is to act as basely as the 9 lepers, who, after they had been cured of their leprosy, returned not to give thanks unto the healing Lord. To forget to praise God is to refuse to benefit ourselves. For praise, like prayer, is one great means of promoting the growth of the spiritual life. It helps to remove our burdens, to excite our hope, to increase our faith. It is a healthful and invigorating exercise which quickens the pulse of the believer and nerves him for fresh enterprises in his Master's service. To bless God for mercies received is also the way to benefit our fellow men. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Others who have been in like circumstances shall take comfort if we can say, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Weak hearts will be strengthened, and drooping saints will be revived as they listen to our songs of deliverance. Their doubts and fears will be rebuked as we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They too shall sing in the ways of the Lord when they hear us magnify his holy name. Praise is the most heavenly of Christian duties. The angels pray not, but they cease not to praise both day and night. And the redeemed, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, are never weary of singing the new song, Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
The meaning that God has made Christ to be sin for us, though he personally knew no sin, in order that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. If we can understand what Hugh Martin, the great Scottish theologian and preacher, called the doctrine of counter imputation, that God made over the guilt of our sin to Christ so that he bore all that we deserved, with the result that then he makes over to us all the merit of the righteousness of Christ so that we obtain what he deserves. If you can grasp that, then you'll know what it is to be perfectly accepted of God, secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more calculated to make you strong. To use the words of another great Scottish preacher, Dr. Brown, he said that then in us the principles of the new life will be vigorous, rendering us intelligent, wise, holy, active, useful, and happy. That's what it means to be established according to the gospel. Now let me tell you, where is the Christian who does not want the new life in him to be vigorous? Where is the Christian who doesn't want to be spiritually wise, intelligent, holy, active, useful, and happy? That's what every Christian wants. If you don't want that, I think you need to be saved. But if you're saying that's what you want, your frustration comes when you feel to achieve this standard of Christian living. Now, Paul is saying this is what it is to be established. And how can you be established? Well, God has the power to do it. How does he exercise that power? It's according, in accordance with the truth that I have here been expounding. Now, here we are, a weak bunch of people in a world that's out to get us. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God we're not left to the mercies of the theories of men. He's able to establish us by this gospel. Paul says, glory to God, not only because of the strengthening effect of the gospel, but because of the glorious content of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That is the proclamation of the truth concerning Jesus Christ. As it says in chapter 1, verse 3, it is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. I'm amazed at the things that people substitute for Christ. They substitute their eschatology. I want to be in a church that has this eschatological system and no other. They substitute their view of particular forms of theology. I'm going to be there. I remember shocking my theology students years ago. And, you know, students, when they come across the doctrines of grace at the beginning, they're all gung-ho. They are very, very high, not hyper necessarily, but super Calvinistic. They've got everything. You ever notice young fellows starting out to preach, they always feel the burden that they have got to preach in the doctrine of predestination and election. You could write on the back of a postage stamp all they know of it, and then you could have plenty of room to lick the stamp without getting any ink on your tongue. But they yet feel the burden they have got to preach in this. Well, they soon learn better. But I remember telling the students in Northern Ireland years ago that I would rather be an Arminian on fire for God with a love for Christ and preaching Christ than a Calvinist dead from the neck up. How could you ever wish to be an Arminian? Well, I don't wish to be an Arminian. But I want to tell you, I know men whose theological system is far from mine, but they preach the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and they thrill the soul. I know people, and I could dot the I's and cross the T's of their theological system, and they're as dead and cold and Christless as any system can be, and that's a tragedy. The gospel is Jesus Christ. His deity, his humanity, his vicarious, righteous obedience in life and in death. Preach Christ. Can I say this to you as a Christian? When you go out there, tell the world of Christ. You may not have all the answers to all the questions. So what? Neither do they, neither does anybody else. But preach Christ to them. Give them Christ. Tell them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you can do no more than give them John 3:16, then do it. But Christ is the gospel. Paul was glorifying God for the eternal plan of the gospel. He says it was a mystery, kept secret, kept hidden in God since the world began. That means simply from eternal ages. Now there we get into something that's very interesting, and I'm not going to fall for the temptation. The gospel was not an expedient adopted in response to the events of time. The gospel is not, as Dr. Schofield has it, a parenthesis. That God intended to do one thing with the Jews, and if they had only accepted Christ, he was going to set up an earthly kingdom without blood shedding, without the cross, without the resurrection, without Pentecost. But it didn't happen, and until God resumes that plan which he has for a while suspended, he has interjected the church age. There's only one academic term that I can use to describe that. Rubbish. That's a very good academic term. It's used in all the halls of learning. But it is rubbish. What's more, it is so insulting to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, an afterthought? The whole doctrine of justification by faith through the imputed righteousness of Christ? Plan B, because the first one didn't work out? The whole idea is so preposterous. This is the mystery that was kept secret from eternal ages. This was God's initial plan. This was the original. And thank God it's a plan entirely worthy of him. It could never be discovered by man. Isn't it interesting when you look at the religions of the world? Doesn't matter what religion it is. You look at every one of them, they have all one thing in common, and that is none of them even remotely approaches to the biblical doctrine of salvation. Not at all. They have no idea about it, because this is not discoverable by the mind of man. Even the angels couldn't understand it, according to the Apostle Peter. They were shocked when they first got an understanding of the gospel. They were stretching their necks, he says, to try and get a glimpse of what God was doing. Even the angels couldn't understand it. This was God's eternal plan. I thank God for those 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Romans. If you cast your mind back, I said, especially in chapter 9, that the doctrine of predestination and election is not the great subject there. He deals with it, but he deals with it in context. I'm not going to repeat the context tonight. Some people come to those chapters and they throw up their hands in horror. God? Predestinating? And electing? They throw up their hands in horror. No, sir. I bow before God and say glory to God for such a gospel. I thank God that he planned this from eternity. That he has had it in his mind. There is a mystery that I cannot plumb. I cannot understand that in the eternal mind, before ever an angel was created to wing his way on celestial business for his Creator, God planned our justification in Christ. All I can do is bow the knee and bow the head and say glory to God for the gospel. Paul glorified God for the scriptural revelation of this gospel. It is now made manifest. It's made known by the scriptures. I have to tell you that there are some dispensationalist brethren. One of my favorite study Bibles is by a great dispensational teacher and a Church of England minister of the 18 and early 1900s. And he's very strong in this. Uses these words to say that there was a time when Paul's gospel was distinctly hidden. That's the Old Testament period. And now it's made known. This is something absolutely new, an entirely new revelation. But let's read what the Bible says. It's made known by the scriptures of the prophets. Now remember, this is written at a time when the New Testament's far from complete. The scriptures of the prophets was a reference to the Old Testament. This is revealed in the scriptures. And yet I have to confess that now made manifest does speak of the coming of Christ. So what are we to make of this? Listen, it's very simple ultimately. You turn to the Old Testament And the gospel is there. But tell me, which of the Jewish doctors ever understood the gospel from reading the Old Testament? None of them. None of them. It's there, but they don't see it. Partly because there are blinders in their eyes. Particularly the doctrine of how God would bring in the Gentiles, how He'd go across the world bringing in people like you and me into His kingdom without first making us Jews. The Old Testament speaks of that. But you know, those prophecies could only be understood when Jesus came. That in itself is a beautiful truth, that the meaning and the message of the Old Testament is fully made known in Christ, and only in Christ. There are many sermons I'd love to have heard, but I think of all the sermons ever preached, the one more than any other, the one Bible study more than any other in the history of the world that I would love to have listened to, was when the Lord Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and the prophets, and then going through all the scriptures, and Luke mentions the entire Old Testament canon, he expounded to them the things concerning Himself. I wish I could have listened to that sermon. The greatest exposition, I believe, in the history of the world. I didn't listen to that sermon, but I have the New Testament, and in its light I can read the Old Testament, so that I have a complete revelation. It was Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, who said that in the Old Testament the new is enfolded. In the New Testament the old is unfolded. Here you've got the full revelation of grace. Especially, we have this book of Romans. And let me tell you, here the gospel's expounded.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.